we were talking last week about the unusual Yetzer Hara that exists. It's a specific strategy of the evil inclination that is haunting many of us throughout the years, convincing us that when we discover, and this happens on a regular basis, certain darker, unpleasant parts of ourselves, ideas, emotions, midas, characteristics that haven't really been repaired over the years, we have a tendency to identify ourselves with that negative part of those negative things that we find within ourselves. We identify ourselves with that instead of identifying with the etzem, with the essence of the neshama, which is pure and which is holy. And the neshama shasati b'tahorihi, we say every single morning. We do this with ourselves and we do this with others. And what the tzaddik is explaining here is that this takes away from us so much of our simcha in life, because we really never are capable of seeing the good in ourselves. We tend to identify ourselves with all that's wrong. Instead, by explaining the parasha of Rivka Imenu, who was troubled because she had within her these two conflicting, what appeared to be one child who was confused, who was kicking. She felt the kicking by the place of Avodah Zarah, the kicking by the Beis Medrash when she was pregnant, and she thought she had a confused child. And she was told by the Navi, no, there are two different parts to you. It's more complicated than that. And we have this in our lives as well. Meaning that the Yaakov inside of us, which is the essence, the Neshama, which is entirely pure, is exactly that. The fact that there is kicking and struggling that goes on with an Esav side that's there, that is something which is not the essential person. It's not the essence of who we are. Now this idea, this concept was so important to understand when we think about ourselves, our children, our friends, is explained now in greater detail in Ayis Gimel. So let's look inside. Aval kashem shebo'ilam ha'goli yesh bo'es ha'yehudi shehu ha'reishis v'ha'nezer shel ha'briyah. Hashem created the world in such a way where the Jewish person is the crown and the glory. A Jew is the crown and the glory of creation. V'noisef lo yesh la'havdol shivim umos. We know that besides our people, besides Israel, there are 70 nations, 70 basic nations, which of course divided and subdivided over the years, but the 70 basic nations from the time of Bavel, of Migdal Bavel. So just like we have in the world the Jewish people, and we have Lahavdol 70 nations, Doimim, Tzemech, Chai, Medaber, and also we have different levels of existence. Besides there being the 70 nations, we also have inanimate objects, and there are plants and animals, human beings. And in each of these categories, there are subcategories and species and so on, and many, many, many countless categories and subcategories of beings, of peoples, nations, ethnic groups, religions, and so on. Chayas tahiris, there are animals that are tohar, that are pure, ritually pure, v'chayas shehem hepech tahiris, that are impure. Kach besoch kol echad v'echad. You see, it's not only that there's a Yaakov and a little bit of Esav inside of each of us. But really, you know that the Kadmonim refer to every person as an Olam Katan, as a small world, a microcosm of all existence. So he says, Kach b'soich kol echad v'echad yesh Olam Katan. Really, inside of each and every one of us, there's a small world. And what does that mean? Olam Katan b'fnei atzmo, v'yesh bo is kol ha'koiches shel kol ha'balechayim sheba olam. Therefore, within us, within each and every one of us, there are all of these different kaiches that are there, all of these different types of energy that in a raw form, these kaiches obviously can be extremely, extremely dangerous. But there are these kaiches that are inside each and every one of us. And this is discussed at length in the writings of Rav Tzadok HaKohen. Rav Deshler discussed this as well. Each gullus that the Jewish people have been in, Each exile has had a unique koach in tumen and purity that is at war with a certain aspect of the holiness of the Jewish people. So too, it's not just the four exiles. It's not just Bavel and Persia and Greece and Edom. It's the 70 nations. And each of the nations has subcategories. And all of the chayis and the behemoths, everything in the world exists on some level inside the human being. There's no them cut. V'yeshbo is kol ha-koyche she-kol ha-balechayim she-ba'ilom u-kamayim Rabbi Chanan v'asim in z'chus yagin alenu. Rabbi Chanan said, she-bechol echad yesh gan ha-chayis sholem. Rabbi Chanan said, in his own inimitable way, that inside of each and every one of us there's mamish a zoo. A gan ha-chayis. There's a zoo inside of each of us. After the brackets. V'kol z'enas k'dei she-nachnu nizke l'shloit l'hanigis kol ha-koyche she-kol ha-balechayim she-nim tzoyim t'ochenu. So why did Hashem Yisbarach create us in such a way? Why did Hashem create us in such a way? You know, it's interesting, we have amongst our people, we're named after animals. This is a very odd thing. And not all of them are behemoth taharos, right? We're named after animals. More men's names, but you have by women also many names that are after animals. And the tzaddikim discussed this. What kind of a thing is that? Not only that, you should know that in the Kabbalah Svar, we're taught that naming a child, a Jewish child, after an animal, a boy or a girl, is a skula for arichas yomer, for a long life. It's a skula for a long life, to name after an animal. So you have names, Dov Bear, Zev Wolf, right? So you have Ayala, Chaya, the name Chaya. So these are names, each, and you know that each and every one of us, this is itself a separate discussion, names, our names, maybe a different summer, we'll talk about that for the summer, the union of names. But you know that the name is a reflection upon the essence. The name is a reflection upon the essence. So what he's explaining here is that Hashem Yisbarach has implanted within each and every one of us all of these forces of a zev, of a dove, a bear, a wolf, aryeh, a lion. That Hashem is infused within all of us different nations, different types of animals. Of course, doesn't mean anything else about the animal except a certain koach that animal is identified with. Each animal is identified with a different koach. Some of you might be familiar with the Perek Shira. Perek Shira tells us, it's from Chazal, that every animal has its own song. Every animal has a certain tachlis, a certain koach. So a sheep, a lamb, has a certain teva. That's much more pleasant. There are others, that's where you also have a name Shepsel. Right? We have a name Shepsel in Yiddish. It's a name Shepsel. Different different animals have different koiches, and each koich Hashem has infused within us for the purpose of what? La'achnia es kulam el ritzayna avinu shebashamayim. That each and every one of us has the tachlis of taking these koiches and using these koiches to serve the master of the universe. Every one of these koiches can be used in a positive way. If not used in a positive way, it could destroy us. There are two important points here. When we understand these two points, we'll have a much deeper, a much better understanding of our entire war in life with the Yetzer Hara, with the evil inclination. We'll understand the nature of this war, how we can be victorious in this war. Hayisayid HaRishon Hu. And all of this is connected to Simcha, you'll see. Without a proper understanding of what's happening inside of us, we cannot be B'Simcha. Most of the Agmas Nefesh, the people that we have in life, is because we do not properly understand the zoo. The zoo. What's going on inside the zoo. We don't have a proper understanding of this. So he says, when we grow up, we begin to discover inside of ourselves certain inclinations to disgusting lower things. Next page. Ein ze shum simen v'shum ra'i l'shiflus ha'neshama k'deisha shalonu. You mustn't think that, God forbid, that the fact that you discovered inside of you something of a monkey or a lion, a zebra, a giraffe, well, giraffes are very nice, or an elephant or whatever it might be, if you've uncovered something inside of you that resembles one of these chayas. Especially, I know boys, from the time we're in yeshiva, I remember being called a chaya. Sometimes we were called treifus also, I remember. Sometimes the Rebbe called us nevelas. right? So, if you when you begin to discover that, you know, my Rebbe wasn't entirely wrong, there is something of a chai inside of me, there's something of an avail inside of me, and you begin to find these kaiches, whenever you hear some shir about Yavan, right, Hanukkah time, about Greece, you're thinking, you know, this pretty bit, it sounds just like me. Then you hear a shir when it comes, when it's Purim, you're hearing a shir about Amalek, right? Pasha Zohar. And about the nature of Amalek, and you're thinking, oh, this sounds a little bit like me. It's pretty upsetting. It's pretty upsetting. So over time, what happens is that you begin to say, it's a simon. It's a simon. Since I've uncovered this, I've uncovered these karchas inside of myself, this is a simon that there's something wrong with me. This is a simon that what? That my stature as a Jew is one that is extremely low. I'm not at all a person who's Kaddish V'Tahar. I do not have Kedusha inside of me. Or if I do, it's something that's totally out there and doesn't have a Shaychus, a connection to me. But he says, you have to know, Ein zeh shum simen v'shum ra'ah l'shichlus on the Shama Kedusha Shelanu. As I explained last week, that even when Esther Amalka had to go into Achashverosh, she never ever looked at herself as being an Achashverosh kind of a person. She didn't see herself in that way. She saw herself as what? As a tzaddikus, as a Jewish woman, who because of the circumstances of her life is in a very, very uncomfortable place. Of course, that wasn't her fault. Esther Malka had, according to Halacha, justification. But for us, we have to first understand that what? Not to identify with those chayas. So he says, V'ein zeh shum chisaron begadol ma'ilas ha'neshama kedoshah shelanu. Right, whenever you hear stories about how holy a Jew is, a heilig yid, you're always thinking, ach, I have a friend like that. Or there's somebody I read about like that. But it's never me. You never think of yourself like that. You never think of yourself in such a way. All of the tumult, all of the confusion, all of the noise, the turbulence inside of us is coming from these other kaiches that Hashem has planted within us. Therefore, a healthy, correct attitude that can give you a life of simcha with your shortcomings. Hashem should help us all to overcome them. But you could have simcha. Is when a person realizes that when he sees that he's nimshach l'dvar m'shvelim b'yayser, that even though he's sometimes drawn into terrible, low things, rachman l'slan, even though he's drawn to these things, olav leida b'behiris, he has to know very clearly, shekol koyecha sakadusha shabai, that no matter what he's done in his life, no matter what disgusting things chalili perhaps he has done, all of the koyches of Kedusha, all of those, the essential koyches of who he really is, of holiness inside of him, nisharu b'saikfom u'bibihirusa. And we have to tell this to our children. Are they entirely intact with all of their holiness, all of the clarity, and all of their strength? And none of the tumah, as we paskin, that an avera is not mechab a mitzvah. That means that an avera does not extinguish the light of a mitzvah. It does not extinguish the light of a mitzvah. We have this thing inside of us. There was a maaseh from the Gaon, from Vilna Gaon, that some of you might have heard, that one time the Vilna Gaon was sitting with a Jew who was no longer religious. And this non-religious person was taking a glass of water to drink. And the Gaon stopped him and said, Reb Yid, you didn't make a bracha. So the man said, he says, Rebbe, I have a lot bigger problems than brachas. That's not high on my list. I'm a Mechal Shabbos, and Eichel Nevel Satrefis, you know. That I didn't make a Shahakal, Rabbi, don't worry about. So the Vilna Gaon said, I want you to know, my friend, when you're 120, you're also going to have to answer for that missing Shahakal. That's the Gaon said. Now, what does that mean? We have this bizarre thing inside of us that tells us, and I just had this conversation with someone, mamish this conversation, we have this thought that I'm no longer signed up. I'm not in the system anymore. Because since I've done certain things, I'm disqualified, and I'm not good, I'm tamei, and a person who's tamei, somebody who's impure, benkach or benkach, he doesn't have to act like a tzaddik. Do you know how this plays into the life? I was talking to a student of mine, and I mentioned this last year once also, when we look at our children, how dangerous this is, we have to be careful. somebody that, so I was talking to one of my students that is not able to keep Shabbos entirely. The situation in the house is not Shabbos-like. Their parents don't keep Shabbos. And he himself is struggling with a certain inyan, an unpleasant inyan in his life, with a friend of his, a young lady. So we were discussing this about how he was telling me that it's not Shabbos-like in the house. So I said, look, you know, you have to try to make Kiddush. You make Havdalah. And there are certain things that parents are very makbid that he can't do this, he can't do that. So I said, well, I was talking about certain details, and I said, listen, at least be careful that when you go to the bathroom, not to tear the toilet paper. So his attitude was, you know, I'm doing all kinds of things that are wrong during the week. So not to tear toilet paper, again, doesn't seem to be like, you know, something that I should be thinking about right now. So I said, I didn't say you should think about it, I just said you shouldn't do it. And the reason I'm telling you not to do it is because adarava, Chazal say, if you've done chavilus, God forbid, if you've done pekelech of averus, then adarava, then you should do pekelech of mitzvahs. But a person doesn't have that philosophy. The nature of a person is to think like this: once I've done certain things, then in my picture, in Shemayim, Hashem has already made an X. Or it's like Hashem pressed a delete button. And you see this with the way people are, the way you could tell in 2 minutes the way people daven. Because if a person felt, like I said last week, if a person felt that the Baruch Shalom, that I'm still on the list, and that my tefillah still count, and that Hashem still is connecting to me, then even with all of his averus, he would daven even harder. Either Rabbi, if you have averus, you should daven even more. That you should even cry out more. But that's not the way a person thinks. A person thinks that because I have all of these problems, and I've uncovered in myself these darker things, therefore, this is who I am. And since that's the person I'm, Hashem certainly does not relate to a person like me, and therefore, why should I think about whether I tear toilet paper on Shabbos or not? A person who's anyway doomed, what's the difference? I was just reading a very beautiful story that was written by a Yiddish writer from years ago. There was a Chassidish boy who very, very poor. So this is talking about years ago in Warsaw, and he was able to get, he helped somebody with a certain mitzvah, and the person gave him some rubles he never had in his life. Really, he knew that he should go home and give them to his parents. Parents are poor people. But he never had ever had any money, and he went like crazy. He went to a candy store, you know. He went and treated himself. And then he was frightened by something on the way back from this trip that he took away from his neighborhood. He was afraid to do it in his neighborhood. He went to some other neighborhood in Warsaw to buy candy. And then he was scared by something, and he said, well, there's no question that I'm going to get killed because I didn't, you know, anybody that would steal, since I'm a ganav, I stole from my parents, I didn't give them the rubles, so mimela, I didn't make any brachas on chocolate that I ate. And a Jew who doesn't make brachas, certainly is going to get struck by lightning, right? Certainly I'm in trouble. This whole chadgadya, which when we hear a story like that, you say it's very charming and very sweet, we're much more sophisticated, we don't think like that, but we do think like that. We do think like that, it's just more subtle. So he's explaining, this is what happens. Like the 6th-7th line. After you see that you're drawn to such terrible things, you have to know that all of the kedusha inside of you is completely intact. Like the Vilna Gaon said to that fellow. He says, listen, you are a Jew. You're not making a shahakal. You have to make a shahakal. He says, I'm not really a Jew anymore because I did this aveira and that aveira. You're a Jew. Every second of your life, there's a cheshbon, you're a Jew. I told you last week, which I didn't mean to spook you out by that. I think some of you might have been a little disturbed by that the neshama right now is not, for the most part, is not here. There's only a little piece of our neshama that in this world. The neshama in its entirety is still in its place. It's still in its place. Right? And you should know that every single day when you wake up in the morning, Hashem Yisbarach sends you from your neshama, it comes down, it descends from your neshama each and every day. Renewed kaychas to fight the war, to be in the war of a Jew. All of that the entire system, your neshama above, is completely intact. It's pure and holy, the same way on the day that you came into this world. Even God forbid, after the worst days of your life. Listen to the beautiful mashal that he gives. Tell this over to the children and to your husbands too. He says, "Umam mishkeshem she'adam hamemuna al shmiras asusim shel ma'akov shel hamelach." There's a guy that his job is that he's in charge of the king's royal horses, the stable. That's his job. He's in charge of the stable. In the old days, that was a chash of a job. Kasha hamelach kainis sus chodesh yokiv enor. Now, the king has purchased a beautiful new horse. And he has handed this over to the care of the Shomer Hasusim, of the guy who's in charge of the stable. These horses that are special, they're saved for the chariot of the king. Now, the fact that he was given a new animal to watch certainly does not mean that he's gone down a notch. In other words, the Shomer Hasusim, the fellow that's in charge of the stable, the fact that he was given another horse to watch doesn't mean that he's been demoted. It doesn't mean that the king doesn't trust him. Adarabha. It means that the king trusts him to have the capabilities to watch another animal. Yeah? Ve'en ha-Shomer margish shum chisus kovet. The Shomer, the one who's in charge of the stable, doesn't feel that he's been in any way humiliated by the fact that the king has brought to him another horse. V'shum chisorin b'malosu b'dargosu. He doesn't feel any chisorin. He doesn't feel that anything is lacking in his madregas, in his level, because why? The king gave him this. That the king has given him another expensive and valuable horse to watch. V'adarab, just the opposite. It shows that what? It shows that the king trusts him amongst all the hundreds of thousands and millions of people in his kingdom, that the king trusts him to be able to take care of this horse. Like the Rebbe Zusha used to say, that the biggest kovid, you know, Rebbe Zusha used to sit always in the back of the shul by the oven. He used to always be schmutzig from that. In the old days, you could be warm in the shul if you sat next to the oven. That was with coal. And the Rebbe of Zusha used to always sit by the oven and say tilim. And he used to always say, "Rebbe Shalom, the biggest cover that I have is that I should be able to be in your palace, to be in charge of the oven, to warm up the palace and to sit by the ovens." That's a covet. It's like a gewaldige covet. That the king has entrusted you with this. Now, you and I don't think that when we have a Yetzirah, we don't think like that. That the king of all kings has entrusted us with another animal, right? All you think of is that it must be that he thinks that you're a behemoth and he's sending you one of your chaverim to be with you. You're a behemoth and here's another behemoth to be with you. Shirakhu mesugal, the emes is, the tzaddik says, really, the king knows that only you are mesugal v'royli as ha-shemesh shel ha-susa chodesh ha-yokesh olav yikav ha-malach, that you alone have the ability to take care of this sus, of this horse, that ultimately the king is going to ride upon in his chariot, which means that ultimately the king of all kings, because every Jew is a chariot for Melech Malchei Melechem HaKadosh Baruch. Kach mamash aleinu lahargish, he says, so too a Jew must feel. Shanachnu nivcharnu liyei shayim reasusum asher yikav aleim ha-melech. We have been chosen. I mean, this is from this explain, why is it that a Jew davke has such craziness to deal with such an yonim? that a person has to know that he has been chosen to be the shayim reasusum of the king. The king is going to ride upon this chariot. Our children don't know that. The children don't believe that. Because many things that they're hearing from the time of the little children, and very often it's coming from people who should be telling them otherwise. And they begin, therefore they're afraid to even tell their parents that they have certain things stirring inside of them. They don't want to even discuss with their parents. So they end up finding some chavrata to use as a psychologist. And then we have plenty of tzaras from those inexpensive therapists, right? They're afraid to even discuss to their parents that there's a gan chayis, to say, "Mommy, I have a little bit of a zoo inside of me. Daddy, there's a little bit of a zoo." They're afraid to talk about it. Kulei hai, you know, I'm always amazed when I'll have people come to talk to me, and I'm always amazed, and I have such admiration and respect for how honest people are. They'll come and tell me certain things, but I must tell you that as a young person, You know, I have Talmidim who come talk to me. I would never have told my Rebbe, ever have told my Rebbe. Because all my Rebbe ever said all the years was that anybody that feels or thinks about these things is a behemoth zechayah. And I'm thinking, yeah, I don't want my Rebbe to know the truth about me. Right? But if you're teaching children the correct way, and they understand what this means, they're not afraid to talk about it. They're not afraid to explain that there's a sus over here. There's a that inside of Aryeh, there's a little bit of an Aryeh. And inside of Zev Wolf, there's a little bit of a Zev Wolf. Right? They're not afraid. Because this is a covet. Not only that there's not a chisarin, Nishum pagam ben neshama hakadosh shelonu. It doesn't. There's no pagam. There's no blemish inside of your neshama that you have these things inside of you. That you have these thoughts, these feelings. There's no pagam in your neshama. It's not something. It's not revealing that there's something inside of you that's pogam, that's damaged. Rak adarabba, just the opposite. Harizeh ois kovid. It's an ois kovid. It's a badge of honor. It's difficult. It's not easy. And you don't tell the kids, nah, it's nothing. It's a milchama. It's a badge of honor. You know, when you Eish Eschal Friday night, you know what I think of every single time I say this sentence? Botach bo leiv baila. It's a beautiful sentence, right? Let's translate. Botach bo leiv baila means that her husband, in his heart, trusts the Eish Eschayil. Botach Balev Baila. Now everybody here knows, I'm sure you know, that Eish Eschayil was established to say, Eish Eschayil from Shlomo Melech, the Mekubalim, the Kabbalists, established that we should have that as our Friday night, as part of our Friday night, right? Eish Eschayil is not from, wasn't created by Byron or Tennyson or Shakespeare, right? It's not supposed to be just some sort of a romantic thing. Of course, it's reflecting upon Malchus on every level, which means a wife as well. But you all know that it's talking about the Kala, it's talking about Shabbos, it's talking about Hashem and the Jewish people. We're Hashem's Kala. We're Hashem's bride, Hashem's wife. You know what I think about? Kozhin Samagid said, Botach Lev Baila, Botach Bo Lev Baila means that Rabbi Yid, Hashem tells every Jew, you had such a hard week, right? You had a very hard week. And when you look at yourself, you see, during this week I made so many mistakes. Ugh, I didn't do the right thing, not with the children. I didn't do the right thing maybe in business. I didn't do the right thing in many other areas. And Hashem tells every Jew Friday night, your husband still trusts you. Botach bolev baila. You should know that I, Hashem says, your husband, I still trust you. I still have trust in you. I'm still faithful to you, and I still know that you could do it. It's the biggest chizuk. I think that every single Friday night by Kiddush. Botach bolev baila. That the Baruch Hashem trusts each and every one of us that we could do it. And with all the failures of this past week, Hashem says, don't think about it. You know, the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh started to eat fireful Shabbos. You know that the Chassidim, many Chassidim eat by sons, Rabshis, they eat fireful, you know, Friday night. So the Tzaddikim said that the Baal Shem Tov used to say that a Jew has to know that whatever happened during the week, it's fafal. That's why you eat fireful. It means, don't think, it's fafal. I trust you, it'll be better next week. Zayin good. Don't think about what happened last week. Botach Beilev Baila. The king trusts you. It's not because you're a nobody that you have these things making noise inside of you. Agan chayis. And it's interesting because children go to kindergarten, right? It's called Agan Yeladim, a garden of children. It's an unbelievable, that comes from Germany, from Tumma. But the emes is that expression is a very, very beautiful and deep way of calling a place for children, Agan Yeladim, right? A kindergarten. A garden of children to grow. And any one of those children, and any one of us, Hashem's children, can't grow if we think that all there is inside are weeds and filth and tumah and garbage. So why do we have these? Why do we have these different chayis, these kaiches? It's an ice covet, he says. The King of all kings trusts you. And you know, Dafka, when you're trying to become better, you discover a new yetzar. You ever realize that? Dafka, when you make up your mind that now I'm going to be better. All of a sudden, the Baruch Shalom sends you a new Yetzar that you never even met before. And you can't understand. Why are you doing this to me? You're doing this to me, I'm trying to be better. Why are you making it harder if something comes up in life that makes it crazier? Why did you send this Yetzar my way? Dafka, I'm trying to be better. And the Baruch Shalom says, sweetheart, I trust you more. It's because I'm entrusting you with this avodah. The Jewish people we're his children. We're mamish, we're the bnei hamelech. And he trusts us. And dafka, when you're reaching for a higher madrega, the king trusts you with more work. And that you could do it. This is the biggest mistake. I scream about this in shul mamish every Shabbos. That we have this tendency to think that fighting with the Yetzer Hara, it's like it's a b'deavid. B'deavid means, it's like, I wish it would be much better if I didn't have to do this. The same way that all of us we prefer working on something that we're good at. No, it's a natural thing. If you're good at something, that's a l'chatchila. Let's say they're giving out jobs in shul. So somebody thinks, okay, they need somebody to arrange the chveis, to arrange the tables and the settings for the Mlava Malkin. Okay. I'm good at that. But when they're starting to, like when they announce different things, we need somebody to take care of, like, you know, some unpleasant thing that you're not used to or that you don't like. So, you know, you put your head down, you hope somebody else is raising their hand. Because the thought is, those, you know, it needs to be done, it's very chashuv, but that's not, you know, by me, it's a b'deavid. And if someone says, listen, there's no one else, you have to do it, you say, it's a b'deavid, you know, it's not l'chadchila, I don't do this, I'm not good at it. And we go through life all the time. Now, it's one thing when it comes to flower arrangements and Malava Malkas, it's a kleinikite. But when it comes to life, and when it comes to how we look at ourselves and our children and our husbands and wives and so on, it's very dangerous. When we look at our war with the Yetzer Hara as being a b'deavid, you know what the tendency of the nature of a person is like this? Anywhere where there's a milchama, it's unpleasant. None of us like confrontations. So wherever there's going to be a milchama, if you have a trial that's particularly difficult, then the nature of that, you start to think right away. I said this in shul last week. I was talking to the chevra a little bit about this, you know, that I had one of my children, and they should all live and be well. So this is crazy thought that a parent will sometimes have. You never articulate it, but with one child in particular, there were difficulties sometimes. So I had this thought. All right, after a bad day like when I lost it, so I was thinking, okay, Moish, there were six others. This one didn't work out. Maybe mommy will save this one, but you got to work on the other six. You can still work with the other six. Now that's a terrible. I didn't actually have those words in my head, but you continue to show for the kid. You continue to do the things you're supposed to do. But in your heart, God forbid, sometimes there's a switch that turns off and says, "Over that kid," it's like it says on the T-shirt. B'deavid. B'deavid means what are you gonna do? It's not a l'chadchila. The other one, the sweetheart, everything does right, and mommy, daddy, l'chadchila. This is my l'chadchila child. This is my b'deavid child. The Baruch Shalom knows those parents that have children that are difficult. And Laura Lane, parents, I hope none of you here have to deal with this. Parents who have children that are chalila on any level disabled, physically or chalila emotionally, you know that 99.99% of those people, they have such an understanding of human beings. They have such an ability to give and to do for others. You know why? Because they already have been taught in the hardest way that davke, the greatest conquests are going to take place in life in those things that you never ever thought of l'chadchila, that you thought are all b'deavid. That how did I get stuck in this situation? What happened to me? How am I stuck here? How did this happen to me? The sweetest Shabbos in life are not the ones where you have everything the way that you expected. But sometimes you get stuck someplace for Shabbos, Chesvos. You know, you could forget thousands of Shabboses. But if you got stuck someplace and you had to figure out in the middle of nowhere how to make Shabbos, so then when you're 40 years, 50 years, you'll tell your grandchildren, listen, I once had a Shabbos that we got stuck on the road and had to pull here and do that. And we put a Shabbos together, mommy and I, and we made a Shabbos. That was a Shabbos. I tell that to my students, that they're not able to keep Shabbos in their homes. The parents turn on the television, they turn on the radio, and they go into the room, and the parents don't even... I have kids that the parents turn off the light. They won't let them... on purpose. The kid can't even read. The parents will go turn off the light, but you're not keeping Shabbos. And they sit there at 6 o'clock, and they can't do anything. And they cry to me that how could Hashem want me to have such a Shabbos? And when am I going to have a Shabbos like you have, Rabbi? What's going to be? How could I have a Shabbos like this? So I said, listen to me. You're going to have Mitzvah thousands of Shabboses, just like we have, more beautiful. But I'm telling you now, that in your mind, you're going to wander back to those Shabboses when you had to be Moshe Nefesh, where you were sitting in a room and you were saying to Hashem, help me that I should be able one day to have a house with a Shabbos. Those were the most precious Shabboses of your life. You don't even know that. Our whole nature is to think of everything as bedavid. If it does, why? Because I'm not good at it. It's geitnish. The melis is geitnish. If it doesn't go, it's all a bedavid. So we look at ourselves in those areas of life. There's a big yetzar. There's a milchama. There's a war. There's the behemoth. There's the chayis. Oh, it's all a bedavid. It's not really good. So the same way a person thinks maybe it'll work in some other area. And the rabbi, Reb Sodik from Lublin said, the Kohen from Lublin said in Sikkas HaTzadik, the davka in that area in life where you have the greatest struggle, it's a siman that there you can become greatest. Davka in that inyan where you think you're the weakest, Hashem is drawing you into that battlefield and telling you, here you can become a godl b'Yisrael. In this area. And Reb Sodik, in his usual way, brings sources from all over Tanakh and Shas to show this. Davka here, you can become great. But we don't think like this. We think that the whole war, the whole milchama that's going on in life, in general, raising children, being husbands and wives, dealing with the milchama, the yetzahar, the chayis inside, all of this we think of as, I'm stuck in a bad situation. It's a bedevit. It's a bedevit. It means it didn't have to be this way. Why is it like this? I'm crexing and crying. Instead of understanding that the Baruch Shalom has put you into this situation, because he trusts, and he's given you a melach and a vayda. You might understand why you have to have this right now. He sent you in the neshama here. He didn't send you in the neshama into the body of the Kedushas Levi of the Baditshva. He didn't send you in the neshama into the body of the Arizal, you understand? He sent it to you, with your parents, with your family, with your place in life. He sent that neshama to you. And he trusts you. You have to realize that our neshamas, the Baruch Shalom has such trust with us, because our neshamas was sent to the darkest time that has ever existed in history. Our neshamas was sent here, and Hashem trusts that we could do it. In other words, the trust that Hashem has in our generation is unbelievable. Unbelievable. But the Arizal told Reb Chaim Vital, his greatest student, Reb Chaim Vital, the Ari HaKadosh told him that you should know that you are like Rabbi Akiva, if not greater than Rabbi Akiva. And Reb Chaim Vital almost fainted. Rabbi Akiva? Rabbi Akiva? So the Ari HaKadosh said, you don't understand that in the days of Rabbi Akiva, you don't understand how different things were in those days and how they are now, in the time of the Arizal. That to be now who you are, to be able to fight through such darkness, this was in the days of the Arizal. You have the greatness of Rabbi Akiva, if not greater. Could you imagine who we are? Could you imagine the koichas and nefesh that Jews in this generation have? That if Hashem trusted us to send us into the world in this time, in the last days before Mashiach, which is the darkest time, to be mesaking, to make these last minute repairs to bring Mashiach? Is there any greater trust that the Baruch Shalom can have for people? But we think of it v'nahapaychu. Because you grow up always hearing menuvalim and mishchasim and low and worthless and this generation and the lowest things. And the children hear this and they're afraid to even talk about the Gan Chayis. When really the truth is that you're entrusted by Hashem with the Gan Chayis. He says, therefore he explains, five or six lines up from the bottom. He said, you shouldn't approach all of these wars and all these things in a way, what am I going to do? I have no choice. Right? What does a person think? My whole day is ruined. My whole day is messed up. Because all of a sudden I got attacked with this Yetzirah. My whole day is messed up. Or I got attacked with this difficulty with my child now, or with my husband, or with my life, and now this messes up my... Because I had a certain day that was planned. I was planning to go, I wanted to get up and daven, I wanted to have the peace of mind to daven nicely, and I wanted to take a walk, and I wanted to go shopping a little bit, and I wanted to do a bigger chaylim and do a mitzvah. I had my whole day planned. Mittened it in. In the middle, all of a sudden, I get a call from the principal. Yankele, what happened with Yankele? Oh, there's a problem with Yankele, we want you to come down. So you want to tell the principal, you don't understand, I have an appointment right now. I have an appointment right now with a friend who's supposed to go for a walk. I have an appointment right now. I'm supposed to do a big mitzvah. I'm supposed to help the world right now. And you want me to come to school. But we have a problem, Mrs. So-and-so. Because Yankele broke the window or something. Who knows what he did today? So you have a problem. We have to talk to you. So you say, here I go again. My whole life is a b'davit. Because Yankele messed up my lechatchila. So you have tinyness against Yankel, you have tinyness against the principal. Why couldn't they overlook? They have a lot of windows in the building. They had to make such a big deal. And then you have tinyness against your whole life. That why do I have to have these things in my life? Simcha. No. In our generation especially, you know when people have simcha? They think they'll have simcha. If everything goes exactly how I planned it, then I'm the simcha. Oh, if everything was exactly as it says on my itinerary, then you could end the day and say, I'm the simcha. But you can go through the whole day and it worked out, the itinerary mamish, 8 to 8.45 is this. 8.45 to 9 o'clock was this. But if 10 minutes before sleep something bad happened, you get a phone call that says something that's not good, so then you end the day and you think, what a lousy day. And your husband says, what's the matter? You're not happy? How can I be happy? I could be happy. How should I be happy? Because our whole lives are led feeling that everything's a bedevid. And if your life is a bedevid, there is no way you're going to be besimcha. But if you look at your life in such a way where you understand that the Ribbono Shel Olam trusts me and he gave me this job. You know, there's an unbelievable thing from the Chernobyl, he said. There was a yid that came to the Chernobyl with certain problems. So the tzaddik said, okay, look, you know what? I don't want to talk to you right now about your problem. But I want to tell you something. Tomorrow, the Chernobyl said, I want to tell you what's going to happen to you tomorrow. He says, what's going to happen to me tomorrow, Rebbe? He said, and the Rebbe told him, exactly from the moment he washes Neglavasa till he says Kriya Shema, exactly the Rebbe told him the whole day. Can you imagine? With his Ruach HaKadosh, he told him, this is your tomorrow. He told him that at 11 o'clock, your son is going to ignore you. At 12 o'clock, your wife is going to start a fight with you about this Indian. He told him every single thing. And you're going to have this to eat. He told him everything. What's going to happen with work? Everything. He gets up the next day. It was going exactly what the Rebbe said. Now, but since he knew that it was going to happen, he saw that it's a mamish, the Rebbe was saying everything. So not only was he not depressed when it happened, but because the Rebbe told him also before, the Rebbe gave him a hug and told him, go ahead, this is what's happening tomorrow. The Rebbe told him, and I want you to know that when your kid does that at 12 o'clock and you talk to him instead of yelling at him, you're making these tikkunim, and the Rebbe told him in Shemayim what he's causing, what kind of things are being fixed in Shemayim from the last 20 Gilgulim, what he's fixing for himself, for his son. And the Rebbe said, when your wife says that and you don't react in the wrong way, this is what you're doing in Shemayim, what's happening in all the Olamos, and this is who you're helping. This is you're helping save some Jew that lives someplace, a Chavez in Persia. And when you deal with this thing at work and you don't take the extra dollar at work, then you're being misakin somebody and you're saving another Jew's life someplace, a Chavez in Lodz. And the Rebbe told him, mamish, everything. So instead of being depressed the next day when those things started happening, he says, Gaval, I got 10 more minutes till my next problem. 10 minutes to my next problem, and I'm going to be misakin this Indian, and I'm fixing this and I'm saving that, and I'm helping this and I'm helping that, and every single Jew. So the Rebbe was telling him, he's correcting about his life. The Rebbe said, I don't want to hear about your problems, listen to me. And then afterwards we came back to the Rebbe said, oh, no, Yanko, what happened to that problem? It's okay, Rebbe. It's okay. Because then the Rebbe said, listen, I can't tell you every single day of your life, I just want to give you a sampling. But this is every day of our lives. Every single day of life. The Rebbe said, I gave you one day to tell you. And you know that if I know that, so then you know that the Baruch Shalom knows that, right? You know the Baruch Shalom knows it. So when a person realizes that, then his life is not a bedev, it's the chadchila. It's the chadchila. All these struggles that we have inside of ourselves, the Baruch Shalom doesn't know what we're going through. He doesn't give it to us. He doesn't entrust us. There was a Jew who was having terrible problems because he couldn't figure out, how is it possible that I have free choice and God knows what I'm going to do? We've all thought about that. So this fellow was having a big problem with that, and he asked all the people in his town for answers, all the Rabbanim. And then he got into a worse place. So his thing must be that God doesn't know what I'm thinking, right? God doesn't know what's going to happen to me, and God doesn't know what I'm thinking about, because it can't be. God can't know what I'm thinking. So he had this thing that was bothering him, and they told him, listen, you know, you're making us crazy. 100 miles from here lives the Holy Rebbe Pinchas Karitzer. Go to the Rebbe Pinchas Karitzer and ask him. We don't know how to answer you anymore. So he's walking along in Karitzer. He goes to Karitzer. He didn't really believe in Rebbe so much. He comes to Karitzer. Rebbe Pinchas Karitzer is sitting on his porch learning Gemara. And he walks over. Rebbe Pinchas never met him. And Rebbe Pinchas Karitzer looks up from his Gemara and he says, Rebbe, if I know what you're thinking, don't you think Hashem knows what you're thinking? That's what he said. I know what you're thinking. So certainly the Baruch knows what you're thinking. The tzaddik knows what you're going through. And you know what you're going through. Don't you think the Baruch knows what you're going through? And don't you think that he entrusted you and he's putting you through something? Because you dafka the Shema Asusim. That's Lech Al-Khila. It's not a B'David. She says, Gufa Achelik, top of the next column. She says, Gufa Achelik, Ikari Shalas Seidu Ayayim Shulanu. He says, your mistake is, you think that this thing came up with the Ankala, and that makes the whole day, it messes up my whole Seder HaYoyim. He says, you're wrong. That was the main part of the day. The main part of your day was supposed to be how to talk to Yankala when he's going through a difficult time. That was the main thing of your day. You get the Yetzar, you think, oh my goodness, here it comes. I can't believe this. I can't believe this happening to me. And this stares my whole Seder. This is your Seder HaYoyim. That's the Iker Seder HaYoyim. It's not that something got messed up. You were given the schus to be the Shema the Susum of the Mekeves HaMelech, Shehem Kol HaMashichas, Vatayvis, Vamidis HaShmeilim Shabonu. So we don't only have horses, you have all these different animals inside. But the King of all kings has entrusted us to take care and to watch and to control and ultimately to make these into a Merkava, to make these into a chariot for the King of all kings. That all of them are going to be ultimately used for the purpose of the king. That's the first yisoid. By yisoid Hashem, all those to kill all those animals inside of you. He doesn't expect you during your life to get rid of all of them. Don't think that that's going to happen. Kishem shishem rasusum shel mekeves hamelech ena tachlis b'avados l'sayim oisav l'hargus kol asusum shel hamelech. The same way that the guy who's in charge of the king's stable, he knows that his job is not so that the king is going to come next day and all the horses are dead. That's not his job, to kill all the horses. That's ridiculous. His job is to control them and to use them, not to kill them. This is also a problem that many of us grew up hearing all the time, that this Yetzirah, you have to kill it, you have to kill it, you have to kill it until you have people that they no longer have any chiyas left in them. They don't have any chiyas left in them because what? Because anything that was natural and healthy inside of them, they destroyed. Because they saw that what's not, they saw these koiches as being disgusting and filthy and ugly. They never understood that the king doesn't want you to destroy that. The king wants you to use it and to create a chariot for him. The king wants you to use your personality with your nature and to serve him with that. To take those chayas and to be able to harness that power, that energy, and to use it to serve the King of all kings. Not that you should be someone that doesn't have a personality. This effort that's being made nowadays to see to it that every single kid be put into an exact same mold. And I spoke about this last year. And every single one of us has to be the exact same kind of a Jew. And everybody's afraid to admit that they're not. To take away from a Jew his Simchas HaChaim. Because when you have to be somebody that you're not going to be happy. The tachlis is, how can I be myself and to be an Eved Hashem? But if from the time, to be served God, but if from the time that you're a child, you hear, you manuvel, you mushchas, you better become somebody else. Because you are a mushchas. You're a ganchayas. Therefore, how could you ever have simcha? You always have to try to be somebody else. And if you're going to try to be somebody else, the nice girl in class, the nice boy in class, you have to be somebody else. You can't have simcha. You can never have simcha being something that's not you, ever. Gamarnu. You can make believe you're b'simcha. You can make believe you're b'simcha. But ultimately it doesn't work. It comes out in different ways. You can try to convince yourself that you're b'simcha, but if you're someone else, it's not going to work. Like the Kotzke said, the famous maimer from Kotzke, if I am I and you are you, then I'm I and you are you. But if I am you and you are me, then I'm not I and you are not you. Right? I can't be b'simcha like that. I can't be b'simcha being you. I can just imitate and impersonate someone who's happy. You can only be b'simcha being yourself. But being yourself doesn't mean, well, including myself, I talk Lashon Hara. No. I'm a Michal Shabbos. No, that's ridiculous. I'm a Balkaz. No. That's not the point. But to suffocate yourself? To destroy yourself? This is missing the point. And many, many, many people that are responsible for us and our children don't understand this properly. Don't understand this. How to bring up a healthy Jewish neshama, a healthy Jew, a Jew that's besimcha. And the children feel that if I don't fit in exactly into this surah of a Jew, then what? Then I'm a layutzlach in my parents' eyes, and my Rebbe's eyes, and so on. Rak adarabi says, The one who's watching the stable, he knows. I'm not supposed to kill the horses. Every single second that I'm watching them, I'm giving nachas to Hashem. That's not a b'devet. If I overcome my Yetzirah today, if I dealt with this situation in a good way, I gave tremendous nachas ruach to the king. That's my job. This is what I have to do in life. But we're not used to, you see, our generation in general doesn't want to work. Kiyadua. Our grandparents, great-grandparents, they never expected to have it easy. They didn't expect it to have it easy. We were raised already in a society where if it doesn't come easy, it means it's not good. Only if it comes easy, it's good. You have to realize how much this is damaging our Yiddishkeit. Only that Yiddishkeit that comes easy, that's geschmack. But if it doesn't come easy, forget it. People get married like that. Listen, there's some marriages that they can't never be repaired, that Hashem put into the Torah. There's a parish of get in the Torah also. But very often, you have this nice little chasna kala, she wants to get married, she feels she'll look nice in the gown, and it's nice to have, you know, everybody will come and dance and do shtickle, you know, so it's nice. And he thinks it's a gewaltige thing, you know, he'll be a husband, he'll be a father, very nice. So you get this sweet little couple, everything is going nice for a week or two, and all of a sudden he realizes, oh, I don't agree with this. I don't agree with what you're thinking, and I don't agree with this part of you. And she says, well, I got news for you, honey. I don't agree with this about you. Oh, it's already time for Din Torah. It's time to contact the Beis Din. We have to speak to therapists. We have to... It's Safalim. There's no hope. There's no idea of hard work. People don't want to work on a marriage, but chalal not. Because anything that I have to work on, it's not kishmak. It's not kishmak. Everybody says, I want to learn a kaila for 20 years. Yeah, he wants to be able to learn a kaila, but he also wants to... Many of these chevra, they want to learn a kaila, but they also want to have 5 bedrooms... And he wants to also have a nice setup in other areas, and everything should be just right and just perfect. He would also like his wife to always look beautiful when he comes home. He wants the children to always be perfect. Torah? That's how you acquire Torah? Who's going to tell the generation? We're raising a generation that's so spoiled. So anytime there's a milcham, anytime there's a war, the person looks at it right away. I'm washing my hands of this. I don't want to be involved in a milchama. That's a milchama. To struggle over Torah? No. If it's an area of Torah that I like, I'll learn. It's like with everything in life. Davening doesn't come easy, so I'll talk during davening. I'll be good at something else. I give a lot of tzedakah. You find people say it's kaseda. I'm not a good davener, but I give a lot of tzedakah. Why can't you be a good davener? It's not my thing. Why? Because that's a milchama. Shine. A milchama, that's it. I don't want to have a milchama. Our Zaydis and Bobbies, they knew that all of life is a war. They knew that having a relationship with another human being, there are struggles, there are ups and downs. And they didn't right away fall to pieces if it didn't work out. Tomorrow's another day. We'll try again. Weiter. It's a milchama. It's not a b'deved. This is what you expect in life. L'chadchila. That's what happens in life. That's what's in life. The Baruch Hashem trusted you to be a Shema Asusim. So he says, every single second, Adarabba. Another 2 minutes. Every single second that you deal with these things, you're giving simcha. Your mom is bringing nachas to the King of all kings. It's your tachas in life. Same thing with us. Hashem entrusted you to be in charge of all these balachayim, all the chayas, all the animals inside, all these things inside your life. Hashem entrusted you. Like we spoke about last year, that Hashem made you a shliach over that. You remember to take care of that child, Davke? You shouldn't think it's a b'deved with that kid. This is the Baruch Shalom gave these kaiches. Al yideh zeh anu zoichim lasis is a dobra ha-choshev b'yoseh. It's the most choshev thing in the world. But in America they say if you have a struggle, it means it's not choshev. Wherever there's a struggle, it's no good. Only where it goes easy, it's good. That's the most choshev time of your day, is the struggle. This mamish, the whole universe is shaking from these struggles that we have. That you're able to fulfill the will of the King of all kings himself. In other words, help me to overcome and to go weiter. But to entrust me, I can do it. And not to be schleppers and to be nebuchs in life. You can't have a simch if you're a schlepper. You have your whole life you look at yourself like you're a nebuch. You have no koyach, you have nothing. Every single second the Yetzer Hara is lurking, he's going to destroy you. And you're afraid that thing is going to catch up with me and destroy me. What are you talking about? The Baruch Shalom placed you in charge of this, and you could do it. But you have to be a loichem, and you have to know this is lechachila. And when a person is working, he does it besimcha. He does it besimcha because he knows that he's bringing nachas ruach to the one who made him. And there's my tachlis in life. It's not a b'deavet. And you're not going to kill the animals. He says, this is a milchama, this till your last breath. Till your last breath, this is the milchama. And when you think you got over this milchama, either it comes back again 20 years later. 20 years later can come back. You have a person that comes and tells me, oh, no, I haven't thought about this thing like for 20 years. And now I'm having again a mishugas with this thing. It's haunting me. So right away, it's finished. I'm done. I can't do it. I'm the same person I always was. What are you talking about? How could you disqualify thousands of shachris, mincha, maravs, of Shabbos and Yontiv, of good things that you've done in life? What are you talking about? You have to understand. It's a milchama, and you're fighting for the King of all kings to bring his light into this world. It's a covet. I'll just tell you this. We have a lot more to do. I'll tell you this, that if we would have this attitude to see a Jew who's proud and to be and to feel, instead of feeling humiliated by those darker things inside, but to feel a schus that we have this, you know, that Rabbi Yitzchak from Vorka, He once asked, why is it that when Ashkenazim, when we say vidui, Yom Kippur, we sing a niggun. Ay, 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 oshamnu, bogadnu. We're guilty, we're traitors. So Yitzchak Vorka said, what's the big niggun? Like, what are you so happy about? Ay, 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 it's a happy niggun. It's a simcha niggun. What's the simcha? So Yitzchak Vorka said, the simcha is that it could be that I've made a mess. I made a mess this past year. But the king trusts me, and he's given me the kaiches and nefesh to clean the mess, to fix the world, and to fix his palace. And for that I have simcha. For that, he says, I have infinite simcha. and that's why there's a simcha nigin. You know, the Tzemach Tzedek from Lubavitch, you know, if you ever heard Lubavitch have beautiful nigunim. Half the dig in the gunim, and a lot of them are marches. When the Rebbe Olav Shalom, when they used to finish after Yom Kippur Maariv, you know the Rebbe used to come out. I wasn't ever zeichet to see, but people told me they used to come out singing the French national anthem. Ram pam 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 pam. That's it came out from Yom Kippur, and the Rebbe said because he received from his great great grandfather Tzemach Tzedek that the only way to win a war is what. With a march, that's how you win a war. With a niggun, with simcha. You can't win any war when you're depressed. If you want to win a war, he says, Yom Kippur, Nach Yom Kippur. You come out with simcha from Yom Kippur. What a milchama, what a victory over the Yetzar, what a final blow, what a clap. That's how a Jew comes out of Yom Kippur. With a simcha niggun. That's why the Sfarim say that you could tell that you were forgiven for your avarice from the simcha that you have Nach Yom Kippur. Not because you're going to have a Danish, because of the kapara, the simcha, mara koye. But if you don't know that, you come to Yom Kippur, you're depressed, you're nervous, worried, ugh, Yom Kippur's the worst day of the year. Yom Kippur is the most beautiful day of the year. Yom Echad b'shona. One day to fix the palace. More than any other day of the year. What a schus to have Yom Kippur. The nations of the world don't have Yom Kippur. We have Yom Kippur. You're nervous about Yom Kippur? Yom Kippur gets you depressed? What a gewaldige schus. The misnagid, I know I'm keeping you for another minute. That misnagid, there's a misnagid that made the mistake of wandering into the Beis Medrash of the Chayzer from Lublin Rosh Hashanah. Yeah? So what does he see by the Chayzer? By the Chassidim? Rosh Hashanah, they're singing. And after davening, there's a big rikud. They're dancing. We do this by us in the shul too. There's a big rikud, Rosh Hashanah. So this misnagid couldn't believe it. He couldn't believe it. Rosh Hashanah, tanzt, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Hadin. He couldn't believe it. So the Chayz is sitting there on the chair clapping, right? And the Chassidim are dancing, and the Chayz is, it's Rosh Hashanah. So the Misnagid comes over to the Chayz, fuming. This Rav, you know, this Misnagdish Rav comes fuming. And he says to the Chayzer, Rebbe, I don't understand. It's Rosh Hashanah. What is it today? Purim, huh? Purim. So the Chayzer says, come over here. You know the Chayzer was called the Chayzer because he had unbelievable eyes, right? So the Chayzer said, come here. And the Chayzer put his, he put his hand over the Jew's eyes, the Misnagid's eyes, and he said, for a second, I'm giving you my eyes. Hold on. The Chayzer gave him his eyes. The Chayzer's eyes. And he saw that what? That over the entire island there's mamish malachim singing and dancing, and there's a light coming down from the Bezon Shemala, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu sitting in his kisei kavod clapping, right? And there's only one shlechta shvatz malach. There's only one dark malach, black malach that's hanging over one person. You, my friend, the misnagid, that you're ungeblusen and upset and depressed and angry. You're the only one that the malach hamavis is standing next to. And they took his hand off. Right? We don't understand this. That's how a Jew wins with simcha. When you be simcha, you could win. And because you know that this is a Muhammad that the Baruch Shalom put me because he trusts that I could win this Muhammad. So we'll continue with Hashem after Yontif, Tisha B'Av should become a Yontif with Hashem. We should see the Yontif and it should be a Yontif. So we'll continue with Hashem in the days of Nechama. We'll continue to understand this in a deeper level. Shkoyach.